Good morning, everybody. Good morning.
Very lively today. Hey.
Today is election day. Now, you may be, well, there's something that you don't know. You may think that the most exciting and most vital race that's going on in this country is for mayor of Yerushalayim. No, there's another race. You may not hear about it on radio or see it on TV, but I want to tell you, my son, my wife would be here, I'd say our son, is running for city council in Afula. Now, tradition has it that whoever makes it to city council in Afula, the next step is prime minister. If Obama can make it from Aquina senator over there anyway, our son, Rav Menachem Gold, who is a member of city council, is now running on his own ticket. And we already got a report from the field this morning on our way here of everything that's going on. His kolel and his yeshiva and his students and his family are all out around town at the 60 or 70 kalpiyot to make sure that everything is on the up and up. And there are balloons all over town with the name Gold all over it. And it's a very exciting time. The polls already give him one seat and is on his way to a second, and we hope and pray in Yisrael Hashem that he will indeed do that. He would never have imagined, nor would I, that my son would go into politics, even though of course that's a fulfillment of my dream. You know, our dreams are fulfilled through our children. But he learned that if you want help from the city to build Torah, you got to join the guys. If you're an outsider and you come hat in hand, you're not going to get too much help. But on the contrary, when you are a member of the ruling power, as things work around here, remember, he is as honest as the day is long. He is a very honest fellow. And I don't know how far honest politicians can make it in this country. But if they can make it anywhere, they're going to do so with a silent prayer that he should get 2-3 seats in Afula. Okay. Now, I needed that in order to begin today's share. Today's share is an elaboration on something we said 10 years ago. It's something that I get an emotional and a religious charge from what we're going to say today. The Akedah, the binding of Isaac. Who hasn't had something to say about the Akedah? The Akedah has been the source of so many of our tefillahs a whole year, every day, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. Slichus, the Akedah, we call upon God time and time again to remember the schut, the merit of Akedas Yitzhak, in the world at large. My, those who have written about the philosophy of the Akedah, the theology, all of the moral and ethical questions that are raised by the Akedah. In the world of art, I must say, in December of 1983, in the middle of a big snowstorm, I made my way to the Hermitage. What was it then? It was in Leningrad, St. Petersburg today. And I come into a room, a Rembrandt room, and there I am looking at Rembrandt's Akedas Yitzhak. It was such profound beauty. Unbelievable. The KGB was after me, the NKVD, you know, they were all after me, but I stood there in front of that portrait, and I was transfixed by it. So that the Akedah is the great thing of all. What I want to do with you today is Rav Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen Kuk, Rav Kuk's approach to the Akedah, as it is explained by a great, great fellow, Uzi Kalachain Zichrono Livracha. He was a Mashgiach in Kerem B'Yavne and Mecca Zarav, etc., and wrote a number of svarim, and one of them he deals with Rav Kook's approach to the Akedah. Rav Kook's Perush on the Akedah, and it's different than anything that was ever written on the Akedah. That's what we're going to talk about today. He writes it in his Siddur. There is a two-volume Siddur of Rav Kook called Olat Re'iyah. All of his svarim are called Re'iyah because Re'iyah stands for Rav Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen. Rav Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen. The approach of Rav Kook is different than all the others. He doesn't deal with the moral questions, doesn't deal with the ethical questions, is not interested in the psychology or the philosophy or the theology of the Akedah. All the profound questions that are raised by it. How does God command? How does Avraham think that he's going to do something of this sort? He doesn't deal with that at all. What he does is, he just about literally takes us by the hand, and he takes us on a journey. A journey with Avraham Avinu, from the moment that he receives the command, what's going on inside him? How does he feel? What are his emotions? What are his thoughts? It's fascinating. He's not dealing with any questions. Right, wrong, good, bad, moral, immoral, ethical, unethical. No. Not that. He just wants to take us on a very, very profound walk. We're going to go with Avraham from beginning to end. And what he's going to describe to us is what he calls, using a term in the Gemara talks about mitzvah k'ma'amara, fulfilling a mitzvah the way it was given. Fulfilling a mitzvah to absolute perfection. Which means, of course, we're going to have to learn what are the elements and the ingredients that make up a perfect mitzvah? And of course we're going to be awestruck that this most difficult mitzvah that any man was ever commanded is going to be fulfilled by Avraham Avinu with such efficiency, with such proficiency, with such perfection, and it therefore becomes for all time the example of how a Jew is supposed to perform a mitzvah. There is an external indication of what an unusual parsha the Akedah is, and that is the structure and the balance in the Akedah is unparalleled, unequaled, and unmatched. What am I talking about? On this sheet, you have the story of the Akedah. The story of Akedah begins Pasuk Aleph, and it continues till Pasuk 19. The few Psukim after 19 are the Psukim till the end of the parasha. I only have them on the sheet over there in case, which is very unlikely, that we will finish the story of the Akedah, that there are things I want to say there. But the Akedah, 19 Psukim. Now watch. 19 Psukim. What is the core pasuk? When is the moment of the Akedah? The moment of the Akedah is Pasuk 10. It's underlined. By Yishlach Avraham et Yado. Avraham stretched out his hand. He took the knife, lishchot et beno, to slaughter his son. That this is the act of the Akedah. In the next pasuk,
He's told, stop! Angel of heaven tells him, stop. The Akedah is Pasuk 10. Do you know what that means? There are 9 psukim before the Akedah, and there are 9 psukim after the Akedah. Very, very perfect balance. But it's even more than that. The 9 psukim that precede the act, so to speak, of the Akedah, correspond to the 9 psukim that come after the Akedah. One of the most important things that Rav Kook writes is that the Akedah didn't end with Pasuk 11. It could have ended in Pasuk 11. Vayikrael of Baruch Hashem and Hashemayim, an angel of God called out to him and he said, Avraham, Avraham. And Avraham says, Hineni, Vayomer. And then in Pasuk 12, Al Tishlach Yotcha Ana, don't stretch out your hand against the boy, Al Taslo Muma, don't do anything to him. Ki Ato Yadati, now I know, Ki Yirei Elohim Ato. Now I know that you are God fearing, Velo Chasachta, Bincha, Yichitcha, Mimeni, you did not withhold the one and only son from me. It could have all ended right here. Avraham Avinu turns around, it's all over. But it doesn't end. There's no abrupt end. Why is there no abrupt end? Because from Pasuk 1 until Pasuk 10, as Avraham is marching toward the Akedah, the degree of his devotion and closeness to God grows hour by hour, minute by minute. When he's ready to do it in Pasuk 10, he has achieved the peak, the very peak of his complete devotion to God. Do you know how much spiritual energy has been generated in that 3-day march? Avraham Avinu is not going to take all of that spiritual energy and just let it dissipate. What's he going to do? He's going to look for somewhere to take all of that closeness, all of that devotion, all of the extent of that spiritual grandeur that he has achieved. Does it just happen to be that there's a Shepsala over there caught in the underbrush, in the thicket? Or was it there from 6 days of creation? And you know what he's going to do? Everything that he was ready to do to his one and only son whom he loves, all of that love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all of that bending and surrendering everything that he is to God, he's not going to do that to that sacrifice that he brings. Nothing is lost. Nothing is lost. I would say I think there's a medrash that says that from that ram, nothing went to waste. Ultimately, the great shofar that was sounded at Sinai and will be sounded upon the coming of the Mashiach was from that ram. So too, everything that has built up in Avraham Avinu over a period of 3 days until he comes to that great moment, nothing is lost. All of that devotion finds its expression in the real world. Nothing goes to waste. If you will, you can look at the first 9 psukim as the upward to the peak of the Akedah, Pasuk 10, and then there's no fall, there's no descent quickly. Avraham Avinu begins the return to the real world, step by step, taking with him everything that he accomplished during those 3 days going to the Akedah. So we're looking at the inner structure of the Akedah. 19 psukim, 9 on one side, 9 on the other side. The classic opening pasuk is there, and we will see how the 9 psukim before and the 9 psukim after
correspond to one another. For example, what are the first two psukim? Psukim Aleph and Bet, and by the way, you have it down at the bottom over there. Psukim 1 and 2 are the command. God speaking to him. Vahiyachar Advarim Ha'ilan, it came to pass after these things, God tested Avram, and he said to him, Avram, Vayomari Nini, and he said, here I am. What's Pasuk 11? Pasuk 11, the angel of God called to him from heaven and he said, Avram, Avram. And he said, Hineni, right? That means that Pasuk 1 and Pasuk 11 are nearly twin psukim. What was Pasuk 2? Kachmas binchos yichidcha. The second Pasuk was the command. What should he do? Take your one and only son whom you love and go to the land of the Moriah, bring him there as an olah upon one of the mountains that I will show you. What is Pasuk 12? The command. Al tashlech yadcha lanar. Don't stretch out your hand to the boy. Oh, no. Don't do it. Al tashlo moma. Don't do a thing. What I just want to give as an example right now is how Psukim 1 and 2 correspond to 11 and 12. And that each step by step, it's not as though, thank God this Arkeda is over. No, never. There was a peak of profound love for God that he had achieved, and that's not going to go to waste. Ultimately, it's because of that that the Arkeda becomes the schus of Klal Yisrael for all generations. All right, we'll get back to the structure. There's something else that's fascinating about it. We read the Arkeda on Rosh Hashanah. What's the basic mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah? The sounding of the shofar. According to the Torah, how many blasts of the shofar do we have to hear? 9. It says 3 times in the Torah, trua. Every trua needs a tekiah before and a tekiah after. So you have 9. But then we came up with problems. We don't know precisely what a trua is. Is it a shvarim? Is it a trua? Is it shvarim trua? So it became expanded so that we should be certain that we have fulfilled the mitzvah. But the basic mitzvah is 9 sounds of the shofar. How many brachas are there in the Musaf Shmona Esrei of Rosh Hashanah? You should be able to guess. 9. The first 3 brachas of Shmona Esrei? The last 3 brachas of Shmona that every Shmona Esrei has. And in the middle you have Malchus, Zichronos, Yishofros. 9 brachas. 9, according to the Maharal, 9 is most probably the ultimate that the individual human being is able to achieve. The moment you go to the number 10, you know what the number 10 represents? A minyan. That represents Klal Yisrael. The peak that the individual can reach on a scale to 1 to 10, it's number 9. Number 9 represents the perfection. In the world of Kabbalah, it represents the perfection of the human being. Avram Avinu, as he goes through the 9 psukim to the Akedah, has achieved the peak of perfection. And when he walks the other 9 psukim following the Akedah, he takes all of that perfection with him. All right. Now we're going to start to talk about the Akedah itself. We said that Rav Kook takes the Akedah and he wants to describe to us in the Akedah how one fulfills a mitzvah to absolute perfection. He's going to take us through 5 steps. The 5 steps are at the bottom of the left-hand side of the sheet. You'll say, you see, Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, and Hay. Those 5 are the components of the Akedah, and they are the components that make up
every mitzvah that a Jew ever fulfills. If the mitzvah is to be performed to absolute perfection, it has to include these five components. Component number one, a perfect mitzvah has to be a mitzvah that is going to be performed with joy. Joy. Oh, we're going to describe it, Avraham Avinu, that is not living through terror, fear, profound depression, a sadness unmatched in his whole life because he has to sacrifice the one and only son for whom he waited 100 years. He must be in a position of simcha, happiness, from beginning to end. Otherwise, the nisoyan, the test, he's going to fail the test. The test of faith, emunah, the test of real faith is simcha. A person who really believes in God, really believes, has to be in a state of simcha, because whatever it is that happens in the world, this is God's will. Joy. Happiness. We're not talking about Avraham Avinu dancing, but there's an inner calm. He is completely at peace. There is no tortuous, tempestuous feelings in him, because if there would be anything of that sort, the Kedah would have been a failure from the very beginning. Maral says, and Akkuk also elaborates on this, the simcha is not just, you know, sort of something added on to a mitzvah. In other words, you perform a mitzvah, so you take lulav and esek, you hang sitting in the sukkah, I don't know, you hear shofar, okay, you do it, you did the mitzvah. If you didn't do it with simcha, there's something very fundamental and integral that's missing from the performance of that mitzvah. Simcha is not something just added to the mitzvah. Simcha is the very essence of a mitzvah. Because if you're not happy while you're doing it, this is not an act of service. Not an act of service to God. The idea of simcha, really, he says it and the Maral says it, we learn from Rachel Imenu. This was Rachel Imenu's week. From Rachel Imenu we learn. What do we learn from her? When the Rebbeinu Shem tells her, Yesh sachar lefulateich, v'yesh tikva la'achariteich. We know that Rachel is crying on behalf of her children. Yirmiyahu. Kol Hashem kol b'roma nishma nihi b'chi tamrudim. Rachel mevakal b'nei me'anol hi nachem. She refuses to be consoled. She cries for her children. And ultimately she elicits from the Rebbeinu Shel Olam the great promise. There's hope. There's reward. The end is going to be good. Now, those words that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam says to Rachel should be at the source of all simcha. Even when one is going through the most difficult of moments in life, there has to be a sense that we believe we're going to make it. We're going to make it. If Jews would not have had that simcha shel mitzvah, we most probably would have disappeared a long, long time ago from the face of this earth. Now, so now, simcha, how does Rav Kook know that he... How does he know that Avraham is full of joy? How do you know that it's happy? Maybe he's suffering terribly. Rav Kook says, God didn't tell him where the place is. He told him, Lech Lecha, go to the place Asher Ar-Eko that I will show you. Do you know what that means? That means that every turn, every fork in the road, Avram has to be ready to receive instruction from God. Go right, go left, go yashar, yashar, shan tishal, and I'll be there to answer you. There's a halacha, and this is clear. A Navi cannot receive the word of God unless he is in a state of simcha. It may stagger the mind, but Rav Kook is telling us during these three, what would otherwise be frightening and terrifying days that Avram is traveling to the Akedah, this Avram is in a state of simcha. Would he not be in a state of happiness? The Akedah would have ended there, failure. Avram would have passed 9 tests, but failed on the test. It staggers the imagination. He's able to do it. What it means also is the following, and this is a point that is made by some of the Mefarshim in different contexts. There is absolutely nothing that coerces Avram either internally or externally. Nothing coerces him. He's an absolutely free agent. If a person is doing something with any degree of coercion, because he has to do it, can't be happy about it. One can only be happy when somebody is doing something that is completely the result of their own free will. Rabbi Yosef Albo, in the Sefer Ha'ikrim, Rabbi Yosef Albo, and you know, I had this printed up to give it out, but yeah, afraid you'd see it would be too difficult. But the basic idea of the Baal Sefer Ha'ikrim is the following: Lo yeshubach ha'adam. Just a few sentences. A man is not praised, nor is a person condemned for anything that he does as a result of coercion. The only time you can either condemn somebody or praise somebody is if they do something absolutely of their own free will. Of their own free will. Avram is called Avram Ohavi, the one who loves it. Because, and listen to this sentence, to me, the sentence was very important. There was nothing about the Akedah that was the result of coercion. Now listen to the next sentence. He was not even coerced by God's command. God tells him, Kachna, take your one and only son. Now some of us would say that he was not coerced because God says, please. No. But it's much more than that. Rav Yosef Albo says the following. He is not coerced even by God's command. You know why? Because the Medrash is going to say that after the Akedah, when it's all over, Avraham Avinu turns to the Rebbe Shimon and says, you know, you remember when you told me to take my one and only son and bring him as a sacrifice? You knew what I could have responded. I could have responded, but wait a minute. You promised me that Ki b'Yitzchak ki kara l'chazera, through Yitzchak I will become a great nation. You contradicted yourself over there. You were going back on a divine promise. I could have asked the question, but I didn't. You know what it means not asking the question? Or better, the fact that he could have asked the question? It means even God's command doesn't coerce him. Because he could easily have gotten out of having to keep God's command. It's an act of absolute free will. I had used this idea in a number of ways. I had said that with regard to the mitzvah of tshuva, that there is no mitzvah of tshuva. Tshuva is something that has to come completely from the wellsprings of a person's free will. How often have I said it with regard to the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael? It doesn't have to be a mitzvah that says, live in Eretz Yisrael. Maybe God doesn't want, if you don't want to live here, don't live here. If you want to fulfill God's will, then you can live here. There doesn't have to be a mitzvah that says, thou shalt live in Eretz Yisrael. There are certain things that have to come from the very depth of a person's relationship with his God. Avraham Avinu begins the process of going to the Akedah completely unencumbered, totally free. That means there's nothing emotional. It's not fear or the hope of reward or any concern whatsoever. And it's because there is nothing that coerces him that he is able to go with joy. Anybody who lives with any kind of tension cannot fully be happy. It doesn't work. We all know that. So this is component number one. Component number one is the component of simcha. Every mitzvah has to be filled with simcha. I've got to get a few things done over here. There's a second. And the second component, it says on the bottom of your page, the second component is zrizus. Now I tell you, that's a word. That's a word that's very, very difficult to translate into English. I've had difficulty with it for so many years. All the things that I wrote down over here, maybe the best is that zrizus is perfection of performance. You perform something to perfection. Swift, correct, quick, efficient, agile, adroit, alert, industrious, diligent, determined. And the word zrizus means all of them and a great deal and a great deal more. There's such unbelievable efficiency. Now imagine. Come on. I mean, you know, I get ready to go out of the house. Now, you don't have to admit to me how many times you leave the house and you remind yourself that you left something in the house and you have to go back, right? All right? You know, I told you once that I have a checklist on the back of my door. Remember to take my wallet, my cell phone, water, my head, and a few other things. Everything is over there. But the only problem is I forget to look at it. So we need to understand. You have to go back to something in the house, and then after I've gone back twice, and my wife reminds herself that she has to go back. Take a look at Pasuk. Take a look at Pasuk 3. Vayashkem Avraham Baboker. This pasuk, every section of the pasuk, every part of the pasuk is amazing. Rav Kook writes that everything in Avraham's life continued as usual. He didn't get up in the middle of the night in a cold sweat. He didn't toss and turn all night. There was nothing that disturbed his sleep. He slept. He slept well. And when the time to get up in the morning, and every morning, Vayashkim Avraham Baboker. Avraham got up in the morning. Got up in the morning. This is not simply the Torah telling us that, I mean, he got up in the morning. Did they tell us about every day in Avraham's life that he got up in the morning? No. This morning, everything was normal. Everything was normal. Everything was on time. Nothing has changed. He doesn't get up agitated, frightened, terrified, in a state of being distraught. He gets up in the morning. I always compare this with Yonah. Yonah gets onto the boat to flee from before God, and there's a terrible storm at sea. he goes down to the bottom of the boat, and you know what he does? He falls asleep in a deep sleep like a baby. There's no one who could do that. He should have been terrified and calling out to his God, just like all of the other sailors on the boat. You know why he's able to sleep through the storm? Because he is completely at peace with himself. There's not a tension at all in him. He doesn't need tranquilizers, doesn't need a thing. He's at peace. He knows why he's fleeing from before God, and he intends to do it, and he's convinced that he's right, and he's totally unconcerned about what may happen to him. The Gemara says, the Yerushalmi says, Lo Yorad Yono, Yono only went down to sea in order to die. He's ready to die for the Jewish people, and he's not upset at all. He sleeps like a baby. The captain has to come down there and shake him. The rest, the whole boat is shaking. All the people on the boat are shaking. And the captain has to shake Yono in order to wake him up. Because he's at peace. Avraham Avinu's sleep was absolutely peaceful. Zayd, you know what it means to be Zayfa at that age, to have a peaceful night's sleep? Wow! Vayashkin Avraham Avoka. He gets up in the morning. What does Rav Kook say? Menuchas HaNefesh Shel HaNeshama HaKedosha. The peace of mind of that holy soul, Shel Ha'ov HaKadosh. It sounds better in Hebrew than it sounds in English. The Holy Father. Eitan HaEzrachi, the Mighty One, Lo Nishvatan. Nothing went wrong with his peace of mind. He's completely at peace. Shnato Lo Nihyatalav. Nothing happened with his sleep. Mitoch HaYidiyo HaBruro, because there's absolute clear knowledge that this was the word of God, and he's going to do it, and there is no feeling of weakness, of laziness, of depression, nothing. It's only because of the simcha, and because of the menuchas hanefesh, that he's going to be able to perform the act of the akedah with absolute efficiency. Zrizim. And take a look, what does he do in that passage? Vayashkim Avraham Avoker. Watch, step by step. Vayachavoshet Chamoro. He saddles his donkey. By the way, it's not a simple thing to saddle a donkey. And most probably, it's been many years now since Avram has saddled his own donkey. He has Avodim and Shvachos, he has servants of all sorts that can saddle his donkey. No. He is going now to perform a mitzvah. He's going to do it. It's not a simple thing to saddle a donkey. All right? And he does it. And he's not a young man. Vayachavoshet chamoro. Okay, that's number one. Okay? Now, he knows that he's setting out on a journey. It may take a few days to get there. He cannot go alone. He needs those. He's an individual of substance. He may need people to assist him. He takes his two boys with him. That Yitzchak Beno. I have a feeling that Yitzchak is mentioned afterwards, because everything is in preparation. First he has to have his donkey, then he has to have his two people that are going to go with him, then he takes his son Yitzchak. And I think that it says Beno. It could have said Bet Yitzchak. I think it says Beno, despite he's fully aware that this is his son, and he's fully aware of exactly what he's been commanded to do. But he's not ready to go yet. By Yavaka Atzei Ola, he chops up wood to be placed on the Mizbeach. He could have waited in the whole area. There was a forest. There could have been so many places to chop wood. No. He wants to make sure that nothing is going to delay the performance of the mitzvah, and he cuts them neatly. And Chazal, oh, what a beautiful Chazal. The word vayivaka appears someplace else. it appears by the splitting of the Red Sea. In the schut of Vayivaka Atzei Olam, in the merit of Avram Avinu cutting up those pieces of wood, splitting them, in the schut of splitting the wood to make sure that it's prepared and that it's ready and nothing is going to stop him. In that schut, God is going to split the Red Sea. What else does it say in the pasuk? Vayakom, he got up, Vayelech, and he went. This brings us back to what we've spoken about often. Vayelech Moshe, Vayelech Moshe. Moshe, like Avram before him, Avram is a holich, and Moshe is a holich. What's the meaning of being a holich? One who goes? One who goes is one who stands higher than the angels. The angels are stationary, their own dim. An angel can never grow, can never develop. He has no free will. But a man, a human being, has the ability to be a holich, to go from strength to strength. And that's how it all started with Avraham. By the way, what did God tell him here? Lech lecha. The 10 tests of Avraham begin with Lech lecha, and they end with Lech lecha. At the beginning of the parasha, before, Lech lecha me'arz lecha u'me'larat lecha mi'beit avicha la'aretz asher erego, leave your land, your birthplace, your family, and go to the land that I will show you. By the way, take a look at the balance. Here it's also Lech lecha. Lech lecha. Where? Just as God had not shown him or told him what land he is supposed to go to when he begins his great journey, he doesn't tell him where he's supposed to go to now. Just go to the land of the Moria, in one of the upon one of the mountains that I tell you. What did God tell him in the middle? Kum hitaleich v'aretz. Walk through the land, through its length and its breadth, north, east, west, south. He walks. Avraham Avinu walks. When he gives him the mitzvah of Mili, he says, Yitaleich lefonai. Walk before me, v'heyeh tamim and be complete. Avraham is a man who's on the move. And all of the growth of Avraham Avinu throughout his whole life sets the pattern for the Jewish people that will continue to walk. March through history. So this is the this Jesus. There's a beautiful story with Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Mipartichev. It says in Parashat Balotcha, you know, that the Kohen is supposed to light the menorah every day. He's supposed to light the menorah. Lighting the menorah, of course, means that you have to fill the cups at the top of the menorah with oil, you have to put in the wicks, and you have to... And the pasuk says, Vayas came Aaron, and Aaron did that. Aaron did that. And Rashi says, Melame, this comes to teach us, Shiloshino, he didn't change anything. So everybody wants to know, what do you mean? Of course Aaron HaKohen is going to do exactly what God tells him. What's the big chiddush, understand? And God told the Jew, keep Shabbos, and he keeps Shabbos upright. Wow, the Torah has to tell by Yaskin, he did it. So the Levi Yitzchak Mipartichev says, you know, if I would have to light the menorah, the Beit HaMikdash, I would be in such a state of chaos, of panic, my hands shaking, I'd knock over the menorah, I'd spill the oil, I wouldn't get anything done right. Avraham is not in a state of panic. There is no chaos. There is no tension. He goes out about the preparations for the Akedah efficiently, quick, dependable. Everything is done the way it should be done. There is no haste. It's efficient and it's quick. There's no haste. There's no rush. There's no hurry. It's done to absolute perfection. And as the Chov writes, Vayar Boshet Chamoro, he saddled his donkey. Ha'pu'ulah Rishona, the first act that he does, B'yishuv Adat, absolute presence of mind. He wants to be able to go quickly, safely, and securely, and you have to make sure that the saddle is on well. He does everything. Everything was done in order. Everything was done to perfection. The next step. So we've now done two of the components of every mitzvah. Component one was simcha. Component two is zrizus, to do it with diligence, to perform to perfection. Hidur. A mitzvah has to be performed with a sense of grace, beauty. Zekeli vanveyu, this is my God, and I will make him beautiful. Et na'el lefanav the mitzvot, the Gemara says. I will be beautiful before him in mitzvahs. Palace noah, sitzus noah, sukkah noah, sefer Torah, beautiful sefer Torah. A mitzvah has to be performed with grace and with beauty. Now, beauty, what we're learning from the Akedah is beauty is also not something outside of the mitzvah or added to the mitzvah. It's an integral part of the mitzvah, just like simcha is an integral part of the mitzvah, and the order and the efficiency, joy, and beauty. That was Cain's mistake. Cain didn't realize what an integral part of the mitzvah beauty is. He brings Mipri Ha'adama, and then his brother Hebel brings me Bechoro Sono from the finest of his sheep, Rachel Ben, Vayisha Hashem, and God turns to and accepts the sacrifice of Hebel and not the sacrifice of Cain. What was wrong with the sacrifice of Cain? Cain didn't understand that beauty is an essential part of the mitzvah. Because doing it with beauty means that one wants to really fulfill with love the command of God. And here I wrote in my notes, and it seems that the Rav is saying something very similar. The Gemara says, Zekeli Namveyo, this is my God, and I will adorn him, I will make him beautiful. So there we learn the halacha of, you know, beautiful, there's an esrig, and there's a beautiful esrig. There's a sefer Torah, and there's a beautiful sefer Torah. Along comes Abba Shaul Omer, what does it mean, Zekeli Namveyo, Elekeyovinu Aremimenu? Mahu rachum, just as God is merciful, you should be merciful. Mahu chanun, just as He is kind and gracious, so you should be. Hevei domelo, be like God. We have to emulate God's conduct in the world. So the Mefarshim ask, and Abba Shaul does not hold that you have to have a beautiful Sefer Torah and a beautiful Esther and a beautiful pair of tefillin. He doesn't hold of the halacha of Hidur Mitzvah. So I once said, one of the nicer things that I said, I once said that Abba Shaul tells us the following. There are two components to a mitzvah. One component is the object of the mitzvah. The sukkah, the Sefer Torah, the Ezra, whatever it is, that's the object of the mitzvah. But there's another extremely significant component in the mitzvah, and that's the performer, the one who performs the mitzvah. You know what Abba Shaul is saying? A mitzvah to perfection is when a beautiful person performs a beautiful mitzvah. He's not something separate and distinct from the performance of the mitzvah. I always give the example. There's a guy comes into shul with a lulav and esed like you never saw in your life. You never saw in your life. There's only one thing wrong. The guy's a gangster. There's a gunner. There's a drug peddler. He's... You think anybody is going to be impressed with the beauty of the mitzvah? What happens if it's a shayna yid who comes into shul with a shayna esrig? That's the ultimate performance of the mitzvah. When Abba Shaul says, "Zekeli van Veyu, this is my God and I will make him beautiful. Hevei domelo, be like God." He's not saying that he rejects the idea of beautifying the mitzvah. He's adding to the beauty of the mitzvah by saying, of course the esrog should be beautiful. Of course the Sefer Torah should be beautiful. But in addition to that, you know who else has to be beautiful? The one who's performing the mitzvah. And how does the Jew become beautiful? By emulating God, being kind, being merciful, being good, being gomel chasadin. That makes a beautiful human being. So here we have it's just a very important important point. The when Yitzchak is on the altar, Avram binds his hands and his feet. But wait a minute, Yitzchak is going willingly. Yitzchak has agreed to go willingly. Why does he have to bind him? This is Hidur Mitzvah. Hidur Mitzvah. Yitzchak is like an Ola. Whatever you do to an Ola, that's what you have to do to Yitzchak. Is there the possibility that some reflex will upset the Shechita? Everything has to be done, thought out, and with joy, I say, with joy. And therefore, he comes to the Arkada, he has the knife, he has the wood, everything is prepared. And that's here, he brings the Ma'ala Chazal, B'schus B'kiyat Atzei Olah, in the Schut Ravram, chopped the Atzei Olah, Niv Kahayam in the soil, the yam was split for the Jewish people. Alright, let's see, I never finished this year. Most probably because the Arkada is simply an unending source of study. Dreikus. That's the next one. Talud, Dreikus. Also a difficult word to translate. Dveikus represents a closeness, a clinging, a cleaving to God. A mitzvah has to be done in such a way that it enhances one's closeness to God. What did the pasuk, that third pasuk said, Vayokom Vayelech, he got up and he went, El Hamokom, Asher Omar Lo Elokim. The only significance that place has for him is it's the place that God told him to go. That's all that he sees before his very eyes. And let's go. Pasuk Dalet, Vayom Ashlishi, on the third day, Vayisa Avram at Einav. Avram lifted his eyes and he saw the place from afar. Vayom Avram El Ne'arov. And Avram said to his boys, who are the ones that were, accompanied him? So Chazal say it was Yishmael and Eliezer. Shmuel and Eliezer. So he says to them, Shmulachem po machamor, you stay here with the donkey. Vani v'anar, and I and the boy Neilchad Ko, we will go till there, v'nishtachavet, we will bite down, v'noshuv alechem, and we will return to you.
the Rav calls this the moment of Preda, separation. It reminds me very, very much of Rav Soloveitchik in the Chomesh Drashos, the five Drashos of Rav Soloveitchik, which says about the moment at which Avram says to his two boys, you remain here, and I am, and Yitzchak will continue further. That at that moment, and this is of course all part of the Chavos' great idea, his existential idea of loneliness, as one of you understood it from this moment on and further, everything that's going to happen is going to make him separate and distinct from the rest of the world. They don't understand him. There's no way that they will be capable of understanding him. Eliezer and Yishmael are with the Chamor, which represents the fact that they are in the physical world. They have not risen to the spiritual heights that Avram is rising to. They'll never understand him. And the Chav of Soloveitchik, you know, we've got to keep our rod straight. Talmidim of Rav Kook, so he's the Chav. Or he's the Chav. And Rav Soloveitchik is the Chav. The Rav says that from this moment on and further begins the existential loneliness of the Jew. We have been loneliness throughout all of history. And the fact is, what we don't realize is that as long as we remain alone, isn't that the great passage that Bilam understood? Am levodah gishton, a people that lives, that dwells alone. If we dwell alone, we're okay. But if we are falling all over ourselves all the time, trying to find favor in the eyes of the world, we are going to cause untold harm and damage to the Jewish people. And just isn't understood. Avraham Avinu realizes that he has to separate from them. They will not understand him. They're incapable of understanding him. There may come a day when V'hoyach Shem Lamelech HaKol HaRetz, will God will be king over the whole earth, that they will begin to realize. They begin to realize what it was. So let's just finish these two. We'll see when we can finish the rest. But anyway, the mitzvah is performed with dveikus, and then maybe the most significant. I shouldn't say that. Everything over here is significant. Reishis va'achris. A mitzvah has to have a beginning and an end. It's not a matter, I did the mitzvah first. There's something that one achieves during the course of the performance of that mitzvah. There's a height that one reaches, and one has to be able to take that back with him into one's daily life. A mitzvah has to have an impact on us. It's not a matter that I do a mitzvah and I just go about the rest of my life as though nothing happened. It has to do something. And that's really what we began with. The idea that there are 9 psukim before the Akedah and there are 9 psukim after the Akedah. The Akedah does not end abruptly. What Avraham is going to do is all that he has achieved in the process of climbing those spiritual heights, he is going to make them concrete and give them light so that they are going to nourish a Jewish people until the very end of time. And therefore, he doesn't simply come down. He doesn't simply come down. It's a process where he takes all of that dveikus, all of that simcha, all of that, all of the spiritual energies that went into the process of performing that mitzvah, and he's now going to do it with the ram, and until finally, after it's all over, he's able to return. Takes his son with him. They go back to Be'er Sheva. He's going to go back to the normal routine, but the normal routine is never ever going to be the same for the rest of history. He has laid the foundations of Klal Yisrael, laid the foundations of Mesiras Nefesh of the Jewish people throughout all of history, and we have been ready to be God's people, as David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Olecha Horagnu Kol Hayom, because of you we have been we have been killed, we've given up our lives for the Chorban, that great and serious nefesh that has kept Klal Yisrael going throughout all of history, 4,000 years since Avraham, all comes and flows directly from the great source of the Arkeinu.